More than 3 million people watched the final episode of Mad Men. Can you guess what nearly twice as many people, some 6.4 million, watched that same night? Two colorized episodes of a 60-year-old sitcom. Now, in its day, I Love Lucy was a huge hit.
You know, when I Love Lucy was at its peak, on a really big night, it could have an audience of 70 million people.
That's Bob Thompson, professor of TV and pop culture at Syracuse University. Mad Men, by contrast, only pulled in around 2 million viewers an episode. But I Love Lucy has endured not just because it was popular in its day, but also for decades after in syndication.
When we were little kids, we saw I Love Lucy, Andy Griffith, and the Brady Bunch because it was constantly there.
For reference, Thompson grew up in the 60s and 70s. Now, if you want to understand just how important syndication has been, consider that story of a man named Brady.
The Brady Bunch, for example, was never in the top 30 when it aired on television. It became an iconic part of the canon to this very day, and that happened through reruns.
But unlike I Love Lucy, you won't be seeing reruns of Mad Men on television. And there are a few reasons for that. For one, hour-long dramas, even critically acclaimed ones, from Dallas to Moonlighting to The Sopranos, have traditionally fared poorly in syndication. Thompson says it's precisely because of what makes them great: complexity.
If you happen to stumble upon, you know, episode 6 of season 4 of Mad Men, you're not going to have any idea what's going on. I mean, this is a show that required a commitment to understand one episode. You had to know what had happened before.
By comparison, oldies like I Love Lucy and Mr. Ed, and broad comedies like Three's Company and Gilligan's Island, where you can drop in at any time and understand what's happening, have been juggernauts for decades in syndication.
When I was growing up in Australia, we used to get all sorts of weird shows, just really old stuff.
John McDoolin covers the corporate world, including the TV business, for Quartz. Now, he grew up in the 80s and 90s.
Like I Love Lucy would be on afternoon TV in Australia, Hogan's Heroes, My Three Sons. It was a different world, I guess. It was just, you know, those shows just used to stick around for years and years.
McDoolin says he watched them, not necessarily because he loved them or even liked them, but because they were the best of a limited number of choices. Those days, of course, are now long gone.
These days, you're more likely to be recommended it by Netflix or Amazon Prime's recommendation algorithm, or online.
That's why AMC sold Mad Men's exclusive syndication rights to Netflix. Thompson says this makes sense. He points to Hill Street Blues in 1981 as the beginning of what he calls our current second golden age of television, chock full of ambitious shows like Mad Men that he says are a direct result of the VCR and later the DVR and digital on demand, which allow us to watch and rewatch shows carefully and critically.
Television could only get really, really good when it was able to be put on a shelf, like a book. And that didn't happen until the age of the VCR.
And so, like Moby Dick on the library shelf or Beethoven's Ninth on Spotify, Mad Men is now at millions of people's fingertips anytime they want it on Netflix. The only catch? They'll have to choose to seek it out.
Some of these shows, Breaking Bad, Mad Men, The Sopranos, whatever, some of them are going to end up being classics, like The Godfather and like Citizen Kane. But we can't really predict which ones of those will be. I would have thought that about Hill Street Blues when it came out, and while it remains really important, it's not something that people watch a lot.
In one of Mad Men's final episodes, Peggy Olson told Don Draper that she wanted to create something of lasting value. And maybe that's what creator Matthew Weiner and his Mad Men team have done. Then again, Don once counseled Peggy about the importance of moving forward. It will shock you how much it never happened. From the Curiosity Desk, I'm Edgar B. Herwig III, WGBH, Boston's local NPR.